All right, good evening and welcome to the Allegiance Team Academy regular meeting of the Board of Directors. It's May 20th, 2018. Call the meeting to order at 7:06 p.m. Meeting location is 13050 2nd Street, Chino, California, 91710. Instructions for presentations to the board by parents and citizens. Allegiance Team Academy Thrive Charter School, also known as ASA Thrive, is a direct-funded independent public charter school operated by the Allegiance STEAM Academy Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation and governed by Allegiance STEAM Academy Incorporated Corporate Board of Directors. The purpose of a public meeting of the board is to conduct the affairs of Allegiance STEAM Academy in public. We are pleased that you're in attendance and hope you will visit these meetings often. Your participation assures us of continuing community interest in our school. Agendas are available to all audience members at the meeting. Note that the order of business on this agenda may be changed without prior notice. For more information on this agenda, please contact Allegiance at info@asathrive.org. Requests to speak forms are available to all audience members who wish to speak on any agenda items or under the general category of public comments. Public comments are set aside for members of the audience to comment. However, due to public meeting laws, the board can only listen to your issue, not take action. The public is invited to address the board regarding items listed on the agenda. Comments on an agenda item will be accepted during consideration of that item or prior to consideration of the item in the case of a closed session item. Please turn your comment cards to the board secretary prior to the item you wish to speak on. These presentations are limited to 3 minutes. In compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act and upon request, Allegiance STEAM Academy may furnish reasonable auxiliary aids and services to qualified individuals with disabilities. Individuals who require appropriate alternative modification of the agenda in order to participate in board meetings are invited to contact Allegiance STEAM Academy. Roll call, Samantha Odo.
Here.
Raquel Rawl.
Here.
Melanie Choi.
Here.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Here.
And Andrew Vesti here. Public comments, items not on the agenda. No individual presentations shall be for more than 3 minutes. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Are there any comment cards?
There are none.
No comment cards. Approval of agenda for board meeting for May 20th, 2018. It is recommended the board of directors approve the agenda for the regular board meeting for May 20th, 2018. Do you have a motion?
I'll motion.
Motion Sam, a second.
I'll second.
Second Vanessa. Roll call vote, Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Passes 5-0. Communications, comments from board of directors. Sam, you're up first. Nothing from Sam. Raquel.
I just have to say thanks to all the registration folks. Kelly, thanks. I think it's going great. I registered 3 of my 4 children and I didn't have a problem, so that's exciting. Yeah, thanks.
Melanie.
Nothing.
Vanessa.
Just kind of following up with Raquel. Very impressed with the whole registration and want to thank everyone that's put a lot of time and volunteered their time and efforts. I think to me it's gone smoothly. I don't know everything on the other end, but I was very impressed with how it is just automated and it seems very easy, but you know, for being everything's new and I feel we're moving in light speed sometimes, but to get that up and running, it's impressive. So thank you for everyone for doing that.
And I'll echo those comments. And are we halfway? Almost. All right. So next up is the CEO's report.
All right. That's a good place to start, actually. I think it's been the bulk of the work of the last few weeks has been around registration, as you all know. Some of you experienced it firsthand. But just huge recognition of for Callie, Diana, Raquel, and no shortage of a group of parent volunteers who've been helping with that process. And what you didn't get to see, and I spoke to, you know, I think last time, was the back end work to get registration up and going. Our SIS, Lou said it wouldn't be ready at this time. And, Raquel, Diana, and Callie pushed and made sure that it did happen. Here we are, up and running for registration. So I couldn't imagine a registration pushed off from the lottery, you know, just the concerns that would have raised. Like, the timing of it was what it needed to be, right? Just shortly after the lottery, now registration's up and going, and we're in it. So, yeah, I want to give just major kudos to the team that made that happen, the volunteers as well, and it came up at our informational session as well, a little bit about registration, and so it was an opportunity to kind of recognize this team as well. I think that's a good place to start. Other things, we did in the last few weeks, did hear from an update from the charter school startup grant in the process. The first letter we received was a little bit confusing because the email said we were in two stages. Our initial peer review was approved, and then our budget was approved. But then the attached letter said that now that we're through peer review, we'll be moving on to the budget process. So both Andy and I looked at that and does this mean we got it? We're not sure. But in this last week, we were invited to participate in the grantees' training, which is only for those who got the grant. So, while we've not received anything that says officially we've made it through all the stages to get the startup grant, being invited to participate in the grantee compliance and training, some reporting training, that's only open to grantees. Like, you know, so. Again, I can't wait to share the official good news, but all signs are obviously very positive that we have received that grant. We'll talk about the factoring agreement in a little bit. So the only thing in the large report is, again, you know, when you look out to a year from now, without any surprises, we should finish with any factoring needs by the first half of the school year, which is pretty substantial place to be. We're still aggressive on the reserve, trying to get around 80%. We're above that now, but again, just conservatively thinking that if in a year from now we can say we're at a 7% reserve, that's an awesome first year. You know, it's a really healthy first year. Again, we have to do that, right? We have to do that. Obviously, every dollar we want to go to kids, but you also have to be thinking ahead of a rainy day, right? And state budgets go backwards. We don't want to find ourselves in a position where we can't pay our folks or give up, you know, substantial parts of our program. So we do want to be able to build reserves while, you know, accounting for every dollar going to kids. A little bit about the info session we had this last week with awesome turnout. Standing room only was what I described it as because there were about six seats. So I did get word that we will have more chairs at this at this coming Wednesday. It's this Wednesday is no different. It's the same focus. It's Tuesday. Oh my gosh, sorry. We just did Wednesday. All the days are blurring for me. Sorry, gang. But yeah, let's correct that for the record. This Tuesday, the 22nd. It was on Wednesday last week. I did receive word that, now you're all thinking, did he actually schedule the room for Wednesday or Tuesday? I know I scheduled it for Tuesday. So we will have chairs for our guests, but for our families. It was a really good opportunity for us, for both Callie and I, to get to know the community. You know, it was the first time that we had heard a community with that many questions and so on. So we get a sense of what it is they're looking for in school. And, you know, never miss an opportunity to clarify who we are and who we're not. You know, that is a message we'll have to continue to give while we sort of shape the community's expectations around allegiance. And so we took advantage of that as well. And so thanks for everyone who was in attendance. That was great. A couple weeks ago, I shared one thing we were looking at with our staffing model and not having an IT position, and both seeing it as an opportunity to save money and maybe move it into another area where we will potentially need it, as well as when you look at our IT needs in the first year, we can do pretty well with contracting with an IT sort of consulting firm that will include all of our sort of getting our infrastructure up and going that's not provided by CBUSD, and then ongoing remote support and on-site support. So currently waiting another quote. I'm going to present both quotes to you guys to look at, but I'm assuming it's going to be in the range of about $45,000 to $50,000 for an annual contract. When we look at what we had budgeted for that position. It's going to cost us about 80-something thousand, almost $90,000 for the position itself when you look at all obligations. So that's one thing. Once we have the second proposal out, we want to share at the next board meeting. The other thing, well, an example of that would be, as with Meredith, who, you know, whose contract we're looking at tonight, we're looking at some of the work she's been doing on the back end of food service. It's looking more and more like we just might have to have like a part-time position for that. So we don't have that in our budget right now. But changing the IT nature of our IT support could free up some money for that. So little things like that that, you know, like, that we might have more flexibility with. Anything? Yuri?
You spoke to registration and our just collaboration and communication with our growing teaching staff continues. We just got on a conference call with them talking about STEAM and our, you know, STEAM model and what that would look like. And yeah, it's all good.
Questions? Thoughts for us?
No. Thank you. Item scheduled for discussion and or action. Number one, the regular board meeting calendar for fiscal year 2018-2019. The board of directors will discuss the regular board meeting calendar for fiscal year 2018-2019. So with this, speaking with Charter Impact, the reason why this was agendized and not a calendar just created, they recommend that we hold our monthly board meeting at the end of the month so we stay current with our financials, which is the biggest thing we'll be reviewing monthly. But is there any day, and we're looking at doing it during the week and not on the weekend, is there any day that does not work for anybody?
Tuesdays will never work for me.
Tuesdays, never. Okay.
You're talking about starting in the fall, right?
No, starting July.
Well, yeah, I'll say Tuesdays, because in the fall I can't.
Yeah. So we're looking at either Wednesdays or Thursdays would be good for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the next board meeting will have a calendar. Is that going to be good for you guys?
Roughly the time? Same time?
Well, we can adjust that if we want. Is 7 good? Just once a month. I think the time we have it now is good for, you know, the goal is to have people attend the meetings.
Right.
So 7 is good with people getting off work, getting home, being done with whatever sports practice. So is 7 good for everybody?
Yep.
So at the next meeting, we'll have a calendar for review and potential approval. All right, next up, contract for services between Allegiant STEAM Academy and Think Together Incorporated for services related to expanded learning programs. Everyone saw the contract. Is there any questions or discussion? I actually got a couple questions.
I'll do my best to answer them.
All right.
I
can
too.
Well, first, in the contract, I think it needs to be taken out that IS students are eligible for drop-in rates only because we don't have IS. The full-time employees getting free, getting to participate free of charge, who picks up that cost?
I didn't ask that. No, just negotiated. It didn't affect the price. Actually, the price came down. I asked them if they did a deal for staff. They said they would only be willing to do that one, the full-time, based on the scope of the, you know, of the potential participants. But interestingly enough, it didn't bring up the cost. It actually brought it down because their cost per student is based on comparables, right? The students that go and search, and that's what they do. And I initially thought the first one was too high, so I asked for a reduction. It gives a 10% reduction, which is what you're looking at there. So that's a good question. I didn't ask it because it didn't change the rate.
Well, that and also the students that are eligible for free or reduced lunch, who covers the difference in that?
I
I didn't explicitly ask it, but it would, from what I gather, would be, and I'll just get the answer from them. I'll ask the contact there, Steve. Because the families are contracting directly with the organization, not through the school. We hope it's just worked into their costs, but I will ask that too.
So the way that it works, because we're hiring the employee, correct?
But they're not our employees.
But they're,
we have a say in
we say who gets hired, but they're Think Together employees?
Right. Yes.
Got it.
For that program, they're their employees. They, all transactions are between families and Think Together are with them, not with us, and the employees as well. We're not Allegiance employees. Well, the nice thing about this program is that we do get to vet their candidates and have a say in their employees.
Just a couple of questions. I just wanted to just double check on something. In regards to the workers' comp insurance, is that something that we are providing coverage for, or is that something they're supposed to show proof of? Because I noticed I see the general liability and such, but if they are going to be contracted and not actual employees, I don't think we can, an insurance company will not cover them.
Cover them.
No, they have to be an employer-employee relationship.
Right, so they have to be our employees for workers' comp, correct.
Yes, and then the other thing I would request, or I don't know if I can request this or not, but is a specific waiver where we are not liable if the employee of the contractor gets hurt on our premises.
Do we have a sense of what the capacity is for the program or what the student-to-adult ratios are? Because they talk about they have the capacity to hire in order to put them within the ratios, but I didn't see anywhere in here what those ratios are.
Yeah, this is a program of this nature. Think Together is kind of new in this game, right? They wanted to partner with us too. And what I mean by that is they're new in the after-school, before and after-school direct contact with the family sort of that program, that this is new for them. They want to work with us to kind of develop it. But I don't know, I know the minimum requirement is 20 kids before school and 60 after, and I don't fully understand their staffing plan for that.
I mean, I would want to know that just because we don't want it to be one person and there's 100 kids. That could be problematic. And then when it talks about, it says like the before school services will operate between 6:30 and 8:25. Is that supposed to be till 8? Like when we actually start school? Or
he has the correct time. I see that they weren't adjusted here. When he first sent this, I sent the correct time, and it needs to be adjusted.
Okay, and I'm also wondering about the, I guess in Article 13B, this recruitment fee. I think that needs to be a limit. I'm not comfortable with that.
It's pretty hefty too.
It's ridiculous. It's out of control. And so I'm not comfortable with that at all. If that's going to be part of the contract, I don't think that should have any bearing on what they do with our students. And then my other question is I know, understand that they are going to be separate, but they're working on our campus. So under whose purview do they fall? Like, who's monitoring to make sure, stopping in, checking in to make sure things are going right or not right from our staff?
Yeah. It would essentially be me, right? Because I'm the one that would be in recommending this contract. So it would be me. Now, we currently at Avison, we do have an after-school program similar to this where they're not our employees, the families pay them directly. We have a similar relationship, right? And the nature of our relationship is basically I have a point person there, right? Their director is my point person, and any communication that goes back and forth, their use of space, or if they have a special event that they need in request additional space, or if we're having an event that's going to conflict with their regular use of space, we're our primary contacts for that. So it would fall sort of on the site administration to kind of be that primary kind of oversight, right? If this program is actually working for our community.
I guess I just want to make sure that there's someone stopping in, because you don't want to give anybody carte blanche to just do whatever, especially because they won't necessarily, they're not affiliated with us. I think that this is supposed to be making that clear, but I think we still need to have a vested interest in our students, and so someone to kind of especially in the wake of the world today.
Right.
I mean, just making sure that there's somebody who is on it.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
And I think because of their interest in kind of growing a program that aligns to the school's mission and vision, that actually, I anticipate it will be more of that oversight and connection than what I currently experience with Avis. And there is no expectation for their program to match ours at all. Right? After school, it's separate. They do their thing. This organization really wants to work with us to kind of complement our program. So it's going to be tough to do without that piece. I know it's not explicitly in here. And I can maybe ask for, I mean, together we can kind of develop sort of more of that, what that partnership would look like. Let me make a note of that.
And will we get access to any of their, like, what are the requirements for their staff? Like, so we would know, like, what are they, I mean, do they just have to be 18? Do they have to, like, so we just have a sense of.
Yeah, I could request access to it. What we did discuss with Steve is the process of us having a say in their candidates. Like, they want us to recommend employee candidates. They want us to vet and finalize that. Really, he's interested in developing a program in which it complements the school that they're part of, not just a one-size-fits-all that they just replicate, you know, in 50 schools or something like that. But I think that's where you're kind of catching it, them in that place where they're in the early stages of this, too. You know? But I want to ask that question.
And then my last thing is, it says that they're going to regularly attend and participate in scheduled governance and operation meetings. So if they're not with us, you know, they're separate, then why are they coming? Do they have to come to our governance and operation meetings? And is that the board meetings? Is that what we're talking about? Or
yes, because I think it's in that spirit of that intention to kind of collaborate. Now, I don't, even Steve said he doesn't really know what that looks like. Like, are they going to come to every board meeting?
But it says regularly, so yeah. I'm just...
Okay. Yeah, he didn't even know what that would actually look like in actuality.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we maybe try to get him either to call in or...
Yeah.
...to come to a board meeting to actually present it?
Yeah. Some of these questions...
That'd probably be the easiest.
Is this the only vendor we're looking at, or are there other vendors?
Well, it's the only vendor that looked to kind of collaborate and build a program around and aligning this to our school.
Okay.
And that's what kind of resonated. Prices, we're sort of in the same ballpark with what we're going to find with others. Their minimum of 20 students in the morning seemed doable, you know, very realistic for us, and 60 in the afternoon. So in the afternoon one, I think he was willing to negotiate if it needed to be less, but I have a hard time thinking it would be less.
And is that inclusive? Is that only for folks who are the real school day, or is that inclusive of the kindergartners who may stay for that portion of the time from 12:30?
No, including kindergartners, right? So
that 60 includes kindergartners?
All Legion students, yeah. So the after the fingers and then the full day students as well. So yeah, I'll follow up with them with these questions and we'll, yeah, I can ask them to attend or call in, right? One of our next.
He has like a presentation or something to show us.
Yeah, and they're moving into this direction, which is new for them, right? They're just starting to create programs, after-school programs, with this pretty ambitious aim to kind of connect to the school's work. So he's really excited about working with us because he gets to kind of develop that with us, right? So I think that's why maybe some of the things, you know, not all the questions can be answered just yet because they just need to be answered together. But I have some follow-up questions and also requesting him to attend for calling.
So I guess we need a motion to table this. Anybody?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Motion Sam. Second. Melanie. Roll call vote. Sam?
Aye.
Raquel?
Aye.
Melanie?
Aye.
Vanessa?
Aye.
And Andrew Resty, aye. So this is tabled. Next up, contract for services with Meredith King for duties related to Director of Business Services. Her contract is similar to the other two that have been presented to the board. Are there any questions, discussion? Do you want to speak to some of the stuff that she's already been doing?
Yeah, so she's already been sort of one of the primary contacts with Charter Impact to get our back office set up, so payroll. She's been working with Maria Council on Benefits, setting that up, and then taking the lead on food services too, you know, just kind of making sure that all the pieces are in place to get our food service up and running. She's been a part of a couple of budget meetings and is also now attending and starting to get like the CalSTRS components put in place. So she attended a session last week that was somewhere in the area it was facilitated or training on CalSTRS. But most of the work is now going to concentrate on the food service piece, and as we're getting closer and closer to employees coming on, making sure all that whole onboarding process is set. So this payroll, getting payroll set up, so we had employees come off the payroll last week, so Meredith was instrumental in that, the medical benefits, and then pensions, you know, STIRS and so on, and PERS, that she'll already kind of putting the back end pieces in place as well.
I have a question/concern under the agreement, like number two, when we're talking about that the school understands that it will not control or direct contract with regard to the manner or means in which contract performs duties under this agreement, but then it says that the contractor shall not be responsible for reporting to any officer, employee, or agent in carrying out the services to be performed by the contractor under the terms of this agreement, except for providing data and documentation as required. But there's never a requirement in there, and I am concerned that we are giving this individual, you know, a lot of responsibility, but the way I read this is that she's not responsible to report to anyone. And I don't know if that is a thing that you guys noticed, but I'm all about accountability and transparency.
The way that was explained to me is we give them the duty, and we, as long as they give us the product by whatever date, we don't need to supervise them. That's them being part of
I get the part about the supervision part, but what I'm saying is that they don't have to, they don't have to report to, like there's no checks and balances type of thing. Like, so if it's not done the way we want, you know, like that sort of thing. And so, I mean, the way that it's right here, and so it's just not clear that there's any of that. It said like there would be something later on in the documentation, but it's nothing in this entire thing that speaks to that.
And it's the same, if I'm not mistaken, in all the two other.
It's the same contract.
My contract and Cali's. I don't know if that makes you feel any better, but it's
not. No, I mean, I bring up something on everyone's contract, and I guess no one sees what I see, but. I don't like it. I don't know how else to.
Well, because the attorney, an employment attorney, wrote this, so I'm going to trust that they know what they're doing.
I understand, but I'm still trying to do my due diligence as a board member, and I'm reading this, and so there's also a way that contracts are written so that it's understandable, so I don't know if I need to speak with the employment attorney, because it's not, what you're saying is that this is how it was explained to you, but it needs to be, it's not clear, and so we're the ones who are approving it. And so I don't know if we need to maybe kind of have that, if you know, Webster's dictionary to contracts that we have with this, but it's not, I mean, it's not here where it said it would be here somewhere. It's not.
I just view it more like it's an independent contract, you know, like it's like any type of field, independent contracting. And in this case, it's not so much we're hiring full-time staff and, you know, that kind of under allegiance. This is more right now outside independent contracting.
But what? How does that address my question? That means nothing to my question, though. I understand that, but that has nothing to do with what I'm saying. How does that answer what I'm saying?
But as far as being accountable, like,
so they shouldn't have to be accountable to anyone if we're paying them. If you get a paycheck, there's accountability. You get paid for services.
If they're doing their service, then yes.
So it. But how do we know?
Well, we'll know because nothing's getting done. Like they have specific.
But who would know that if they're not required to report to anyone?
Well, of course we know. I mean,
yeah, it's. my understanding of that, right, is there's, because this person, neither of us are employees at this point, there's no evaluation mechanism, right? There's desired outcomes, like payroll needs to be set up, right? The benefits package needs to be put in place. Those are the deliverables of this contract, right? But there's not an evaluation process along the way. It's the work itself.
Well, I mean, this is only for a month, so I'm saying, like, yeah. How do we know this is going to transfer?
Because there are certain duties that are in this contract. If she doesn't deliver those duties, she's not going to get paid. We don't pay her up front.
Right.
She gets paid at the end of the month. Like, they've been paid throughout this, their contracts. So if they don't deliver their duties, and who they report to is me, because that's who I'm in discussions with them, and I just tell Charter Impact, don't pay them.
Right, so but don't they have to, whether they do their duties or not, right, don't they have to communicate that or report to someone at some point for them to get a paycheck? And but here it's saying they don't have to report to anyone.
Yeah, because no one's supervising them to do the duty.
I'm not saying like every step of the way, but I'm saying at some point, so where's the oversight? Like there has to be some sort of mechanism to ensure that it gets done. And I mean, maybe you guys don't agree, and that's fine. I think that healthy disagreement is a great thing, but...
I don't agree, and I'll make a motion to adopt and approve the contract services with Meredith King for duties related to Director of Business Services.
I'll second the motion.
Roll call vote. Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Nay.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti. Aye. Passes 4-1. Factoring agreement with Charter Asset Management. The board will review, discuss the factoring agreement presented to Allegiant Seam Academy to provide $100,000 to assist with startup expenses. Troy Stevens, Andrew Vesti, Samantha Odo, and Dr. Cognetta have agreed to be personal guarantees for the factoring agreement. And this is the exact same one that we received the last time, just a different dollar amount. Any questions? Discussion? Do you want to say anything?
Yeah, we're just moving into that phase where we have more people coming onto payroll, right? We're coming onto payroll, and we are purchasing curriculum materials, and there are costs, right, to get things off the ground. And so this is a time in which we need that money. We've not, we're in a position where any sort of factoring agreements will end mid-year, like first school year. But to get to the initial startups, which would be the heaviest cost of the school year, and into when we receive funding, you know, late summer, early fall, with costs that have already started, this is the time you know, to have this factoring agreement realized. We'll have another one before us probably in July, because now we're getting ready for large payroll at the end of October and into September, and then all the other costs into starting the school. So, I don't have anything else to add. I don't know if you're in.
So do I have a motion to, do you have some?
Well, no, I was just clarifying. So until our first day of school, would they continue to have to be personal guarantee? Like if we do one more?
Yeah,
so the next agreement will also require personal guarantee. But what are the indicators that we're opening a school, right? So. Even after the charter approval, there was a lot of work that was being done, meeting conditions of the MOU, getting interest from the community. All of those things were our mindset even after the approval in December was, okay, we got this important, huge step, right? Not to diminish it at all. But there are still things that need to happen for us to say, confidently that we're opening a school. Once, over 900 students applied and a lottery was set and staff is coming together, the demand is there for twice as many students as there are spots, right, almost. Now, the mindset has shifted. It's not, we got to do things to open the school. We are opening the school, and these are the things that have to get done at this time. So, the compliance factors like joining a SELPA, getting our charter number, all of those pieces that need to come together are, and so that's why I can confidently add myself to that list because I know that's what we're in the business of doing. Where you guys took a greater leap, you know, when you looked at $50,000, right? The founding team that did that, absolutely, because that was such, done in such an early stage. At this point, it's my mindset is these are the costs that are necessary, and you know, in July as well, to make sure that we can pay our folks that are showing up expecting a job in August, right? So it is a different mindset. It's helpful to think about, right? That's where this organization and a very healthy place is. And so it's the funding in charter schools is what it is, right? We don't get paid until well after we start paying for stuff. So these are the necessary steps. And it's a good time to be in. I'm grateful for it. I mean, a decade ago, people were, you know, were taking out a second on their house to make payroll at this, you know, in that first chapter of their school. Now, you know, organizations like Charter Asset Management exist, and we have different mechanisms to open our school. Again, like now there's a new trend where in less than a school year, within less than a school year, this process will no longer be necessary. We'll be cash rich, you know, in the second half of the school year. And then our names will start to come off of that scary kind of guarantee.
Anything else? So do I have a motion to approve and agree to the factoring agreement with Charter Asset Management?
I'll make a motion.
Motion Vanessa, second?
I'll second.
Second Sam. Roll call vote, Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Motion passed 5-0. Adjournment. It is recommended the Board of Directors adjourn the regular board meeting for May 20th, 2018. Have a motion?
I'll motion.
Motion Sam, second?
I'll second.
Second Melanie. Roll call vote, Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Meeting is adjourned at 7:43 p.m.